Yeah, very good evening to you, and you're very welcome along to Terrace Talk for this Monday evening. It's the 7th of October. Weather mightn't be showing it's the 7th of October, but we're well into that time of year, and leaves falling means county championship time, and we'll be chatting all things sport between now and 8 o'clock this evening in the company of a very special guest between, as I say, now and 8 o'clock. We're live from our Killarney studio. I've been in Killarney Racecourse all day, made the quick dash up to our studio here in Glebe Lane in Killarney. It's a pleasure to be somewhere different maybe for 1 week out, and we've got the lads on tour as well tonight here in Killarney. As I say, we'll be chatting all things football in the first hour and a bit, obviously county championship quarterfinals in the weekend just gone, and of course the ladies finals. We'd have all the wrap up and the fallout from everything over the weekend. We'd also be chatting a little bit about pitch and putt later on. A lovely pitch and putt classic coming up for Jerry O'Leary here in Deer Park Pitch and Putt Club. We'll be chatting to members of Glenfless GA about that one. And the Killarney Cougars basketball will be in as well. If you're a big fan of the basketball, the National League's returned this weekend with a bang for all the Kerry sides. Again, pure sign of winter that the basketball is back underway. So we'll be chatting to Killarney Cougars and a few of their new signings as they go in to another season with National League basketball here in Killarney. As ever, you can get in touch with the programme, 083 300 300. You can text or WhatsApp us on that. And Keane is back at base in Tralee. You can give him a buzz, 066 712 3666. Let us know what your thoughts are. Hectic weekend of sport locally, nationally and internationally, of course. As we mentioned, Killarney races on all over the weekend. We had the county championship, we had Kerry FC in the All-Ireland final in Dublin as well, and there was coursing, there was every sort of a thing. Joe Mahoney was very busy, and of course weekend sport picking up gold at the Imro Radio Awards in Kilkenny on Friday evening. Fantastic night in Kilkenny, and well done to everybody on the weekend sports team, including the two men sitting in front of me, Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy. Obviously, with weekend sports lads, it's a full team effort, so everybody is rewarded with that. It just goes to show the efforts are worth something.
Yeah, even look, it's a fantastic achievement by the team at Radio Kerry. We're only a very small part of it, and we enjoy what we do, but we can see the work in the background that the likes of yourself and Joe and everyone involved do, and there's a lot of work involved in it, and it's fantastic, and it's great to be, I suppose, to be applauded for your slavery and all the work that you do, and for Kerry alone. Like the Saturday show, I suppose, is in every household now in Kerry. You know, you switch it on and you sport all day and you're listening to no matter what kind of a sport it is, it's covered, and long may it continue.
Yeah, if you look at Sunday, there was I think 6 live games across the day, with reports from Dublin, and we had every race live from Killarney all in one day. It's amazing what I suppose local radio can do for people who are at home or whatever else, or if you're in the car and you want to catch up on sport, or if you're like us moving between grounds as well. It's all very popular. But we'll start, lads, with the County Senior Football Championship quarterfinals, of course, taking centre stage yesterday. We're going to go to our Tralee studio, and Andrew Moynihan is standing by there as well. Andrew, we're going to chat East Kerry St. Kieran's first. I think the headline today that I read in the Examiner was East Kerry got the gut check that they needed. I think fair to say that East Kerry got a good test.
Yeah, definitely a good test. Good evening, Ivan. Yeah, I didn't expect this game to be so tight, but huge credit to St. Kieran's. They put in a monumental effort there at the weekend, and probably might have seen it as a chance lost, but East Kerry dug out that win by 2 points, 114 to 112. It could be the making of this East Kerry team in retaining the Bishop Moynihan Cup, I suppose. Looking at the game itself, I suppose the first quarter was all about the Clifford brothers. Paulie scored the opener, David got 2 frees and 1 from play, and in the 20th minute then they could have had the cherry on top to their quick fire start. Paulie almost gave a laid off a ball to David, who attempted a rocket but it sailed over the bar, and just a couple of moments after that, for Kieran's Paul Walsh, he was brought down inside the area, and big calls for a penalty from the Kieran side in that, and arguably was a penalty there, and nothing given. And a minute later, East Kerry got their goal from Paddy O'Leary, who's continuing his red hot form. He received the ball near the end line, he hand passed across, and Paddy O'Leary got the goal. Paulie Clifford passing across them, and that gave East Kerry a 5-point lead. But to be fair to Kieran's, they responded so well. Philip O'Connor, who's been instrumental to them all championship, he got a superb score before just 2 minutes later Brian Leonard, who got a brilliant goal. He jinked past two East Kerry men and chipped Brian Kelly from 21 yards, and he probably went for the point, but still it was Kieran's right back in the game, and they were level at half time. But I look to the second half, I look at Finbar Murphy, who was really a definition of an impact sub. He got 5 points for East Kerry in the second half, the Legion man, and they built a 3-point lead after 3 minutes in the second half. And I suppose the rest of the game was about keeping that Kieran's threat at bay, which is no easy task because they plucked away themselves. They got points from Paul Walsh, Eddie Horn, and who really inspired them to go for the win. But I think East Kerry were able to depend a small bit on David Clifford himself, Keane Lynch and Darren Lyon, who I thought was superb, to get them over the line, and they held firm despite Kieran's late efforts to get a goal. I suppose looking at the players of the game, really Paul Walsh, Philip O'Connor, David Clifford, I thought they were the real standouts, and there's plenty to work on now for East Kerry. It looked like they'd win for throughout the game, but it wasn't a convincing win, if you know what I mean. And now they have to look to the scoring power of Dingle next weekend.
Absolutely, Andrew. John, I mean, was that the game that East Kerry probably needed?
Yeah, it was, Ivan. I'd say, you know, they've been motoring along. Look, they're getting the results without being really road tested, as they say, but this was a real test, and we said it during last week, Liam and myself, about St Kieran's, well organised under Stephen Wallace, have the players, you know, and certainly seem to get the best out of them. And you know, games can be won and lost on fine margins, like Andrew said. They had that penalty, the debatable penalty that wasn't given, could have made a huge difference. But you look at the subs that East Kerry brought on. Finbar Murphy, 5 points in the second half. Sean Leary coming on, great to see him back again at that level. Darryl Roach and Kevin O'Sullivan, the strength and depth they have. They have quality to come off the bench. They have a panel, and you know, we are at the business end. The teams that are under pressure with injuries and that, the panel plays a huge part on it. But look, they got over the line by 2 points. Nip and tuck throughout, level at half time. Again, David Clifford kicking 6 points. You know, but Finbar Murphy's introduction, I think, was crucial. And, you know, they just got over the line. But a lot of work to be done there. But I think Jerry Sullivan and his management team are in a very good position.
Absolutely. Liam, St. Kieran's, I suppose, listened to Paul Walsh after the game. He gave a very good interview, actually, and he said they were embarrassed, you know, after last year's quarter final. It was lost by such a margin. This big progress for St. Kieran, okay, it fell short, maybe a small bit disappointed that they didn't get the win, but definitely closed a huge gap, did they?
They did, and look, we've been saying it, and I'm a Kieran's man myself, and I know the heart and the, you know, they never give up. That's the one thing, and this team typified it yesterday. They're a young team. A very young team, and it just shows that if you can get clubs to buy in for a district, you don't have to be blessed with county players left, right and centre, but if you get the buy-in from the players and you have a good management team, which Kieran's have, you can achieve a lot of things. And I think Kieran's, they won the minors this year, you know, William Curtin as the chairman now of after doing a great job in the last 12 months kind of rebuilding. So the young players are there. You know, so hopefully they can build on this, because it wasn't too long ago, and we said it here on the radio, we didn't give a walkover, but we gave a club team a chance to go out and play in a county championship match because players wouldn't show up. You know, we've come a long way from that now, and I hope that they can keep driving it on, because yesterday they did ask big questions, and to not East Kerry, and East Kerry did show a bit of character, I suppose, and I think it will stand to them. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about a few decisions. Now, I think Carl Brosnan's black card, question mark over it. Now, the Pilty decision. There was a lot of small things that didn't go Kieran's way yesterday. But look, I suppose you get the rub of the green at times, if and you don't more times. But East Kerry, yeah, and it just shows in East Kerry as well, like, Finbar Murphy is not a household name, but they can pull these fellas from clubs in the East Kerry district, because they're so strong. You know, the clubs, and I won't go naming them, but every one of them are very good footballing clubs. Mm-hmm. And when you pull fellas like that, and next he comes off the bench and he kicks 5 pints. And credit to Gerry Sullivan and the management team as well, that they can get these fellas and everything. But then when you have the two Cliffords in there, like David was a constant thorn in the side, because he kicked 6 pints and he was buzzing around the place. But my man of the match yesterday, really, for him was Dara Lyne. I thought Dara was excellent. Mm. And it's great to see Dara playing well, because looking at the green and gold jersey down along the line, we need the likes of these fellas to be holding up their hand. So kudos to St. Kieran's. I know it won't mean much because they're out, but hopefully we can, St. Kieran's can drive on from that. But East Kerry, I think, was a good test for him, and I think it will stand him going into the semi-final.
Kieran's probably a good prospect to keep an eye on in the next couple of years. Obviously, as you mentioned, young team, Stephen Wallace obviously got the buy-in there as well. Definitely one maybe to keep an eye on the next couple of county championships to go maybe a step further.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think, but look at the other districts teams, South Kerry, Shannon Rangers, they all went with the youth policy. You know, young players, and we have very good young players in the county, and I think we've been saying this for years, that this is our competition, this is the big competition. Mm-hmm. Where players in the lower divisions like Currer heading Division 4, Cordler 3, you know, we're not all in Division 1 in St. Kieran's. Mm-hmm. But this is a chance where they can come together and star and get a bit of publicity and show people what they can do. And I think Kieran's have a lot of players there, you know, that people will be keeping an eye on. Sean O'Connell, I thought Philippus O'Connor was excellent throughout the campaign. Excellent throughout the campaign. You know, Sean O'Connell in the middle of the field, Brian Leonard full back, you know, the two McKelligates, Rory Burke, really, you know, they can all hold their heads up high. And there's a lot of young guys on the bench then as well, so things are good for St. Kieran's.
Yeah, Liam has already actually given us a promo for the county championship there, John. I think, you know, it's a stage for, you know, we might talk about East Kerry, you know, winning year after year, or, you know, Croxton winning senior club championship, whatever else, but, you know, when you think like St. Kieran's, and that's what kind of makes this competition what it is that, yeah, as you mentioned, Division 4 players, you know, able to come out and represent their district. There's pride in the jersey, evidently enough, in Kieran's as well. It's very important we kind of keep that mindset as well when we think of the county championship. We're talking about, you know, maybe games that massively attended or whatever else, or the formats, and we always seem to be able to complain about it, but there's definitely positives like that as well, isn't there?
There's no question about that, and I think you look at it, Liam hit the nail on the head there, a game a few years ago involving the Kieran's. It's all about moving on and improving. And people will say a team doesn't perform this year or in so many games, oh, it is time to amalgamate, or it is time to disband that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, you look at it, South Kerry this year, Shannon Rangers, St. Kieran's, against one of the best teams in it, the favourites, mm-hmm, for the championship. You know, they won the county minor. We were at that, cracking game in Tralee a few weeks ago. It's about the people you put in place as well, the belief they put into the team.
And it's our board. You need the backing from our board as well. I think that's very important, that if you have a good board that is going to back the management team at whatever level, you know, you're halfway there then. And I think St. Kieran's had that with Willem as chairman and his committee, you know. So I just hope now they can keep as they say, the front foot and keep driving it on now, because, you know, East Kerry, they had a fantastic outing in St. Brendan's. You know, all these guys were laden with county footballers, you know, so, and they didn't look out of place. Mm-hmm. And like I said, most of the Shannon Rangers, you know, South Kerry, they're gone a youth policy, and I think that's the way you need to
West
go.
Kerry, Liam.
West Kerry, yeah.
They, you know, they acquitted themselves quite well, you know, and but I think you hit the nail on the head earlier on, Ivan. Paul Welch's interview, the hurt from last year. Players are hurt when they don't perform. Some days you go out, it just doesn't happen. You don't become a bad player overnight.
No.
And he hit the nail on the head there. They wanted to redeem themselves, and they certainly did. And we're very, very close.
Yeah, I'd say maybe just fell short a tiny bit. But you said the youth coming through, and it's, you know, there's obviously district boards can kind of go through a transition period as much as clubs as well. And it's important to recognise that with management teams coming and going. There's such a short build up of time going for the district sides. One district that it didn't affect, along with East Kerry, is St. Brendan's. Andrew came through a tough test against Kinmare again that was on and off over orange warrants, everything else, but Brendan's 2 points victors over Kinmare.
Yeah, and I suppose looking ahead, it was the draw of the weekend by many, and good credit to Brendan's. What a win they got over the weekend in Beaufort. One that I probably didn't expect. I did back Kinmare to win that game. And to be fair to Kinmare, they fought to the very end despite being down to 14 men, but Brendan's pulling out 2-point victors there. I suppose Shawnee O'Shea, he got Kinmare going with 2 points early on. Brendan's then hit 6 unanswered, including 3 from Barry John Keane, and led by 4 after the first quarter. They had that lead pushed out again to 6. Thanks to Jack Savage after 20 minutes. They got a couple of points from both sides before Barry John Keane got a score to give Brendan's a 5-point lead at the break, and they extended it back to 6, but then the Kinmare resurgence started, which was led by Shawnee. He got 3 points, 1 from James McCarthy, had the game right back to 2. And to be fair to Shawnee, we've talked about him all championship. He was just brilliant once again at the weekend. He led Kinmare right back into this game, and it's such leadership quality shown by him. And unfortunately, the latter I named, James McCarthy, he was lost to injury, which I spotted it really did impact Kinmare, because he's a great link player for them. In the 53rd minute, they had another big blow. Kevin O'Sullivan was sent off, which now 3 points behind in the 53rd minute. This is going to be a huge ask for Kinmare. And to be fair, inspirational Shawnee O'Shea once again. He kicked 2 points and gave Kinmare some hope, but the crucial score came on the 60th minute for me. The substitute Paddy Lane, he was found by Jack Savage and kicked an awesome technical effort to give Brendan's a 3-point cushion, and it was kind of a safety net, and it gave them the win. And they made hard work of it at times. They might have had a chance to pull away, but looking, it was probably the toughest draw they could have got at the weekend, and they got their win, and they deserved it really in the end. And now they will really relish a game against the Crokes next weekend.
My own Crokes against St. Brendan's. Lads, talk to me a small bit about this one, I suppose. Liam, as Andrew alluded to there, the red card, and probably the loss of James McCarthy, a big way to Kinmare's defeat.
Yeah, and look, we've said it here on the show a few times about Kinmare. They're never say die attitude. Mm-hmm. And we've been praising. You know, we've often talked about county players not standing out. But by God, Shawnee O'Shea still don't this county championship. He is kind of like, I called him a man mountain last week, and he did the same, kicking 10 points now this weekend. He's the one county player that is really dragging his team, you know, along, and really standing out. And I suppose the red card was probably the big one for this. You know, it's hard enough to up against the star-studded St. Brendan's team, and then to be down to 14 players. But then on the other side, when you look at St. Brendan's and the players that they have, you know, they have a big test now next weekend. I know they'll relish it, but they will have to, you know, they'll have to bring a bit of determination and the fight, like St. Kieran's and, you know, the Shannon Rangers. If they can bring that into their play, as well as the football players that they have, they'll be very hard beat. You know, you've got Tommy Welsh, Barry John Keane, Jack Savage, like Joe O'Connor, David Moore, and all these guys. Not in mind Dylan Casey, Joey Nadel, and I mean the whole team here. And they're all household. They're all names that footballing people in the county know. They are star-studded kind of a team.
Yeah.
But if they can get that little bit of, like, that little bit of toughness. Now, we know what they can do on the football side of it, but if they can a little bit of bite about them, I think they'll be very hard beat.
Absolutely. I think the Brendan's 15 wouldn't be too strange if they started for Kerry in the first round of the league. It's all household names. Talk to me, Swabage, I suppose, about St. Brendan's. I mean, look, I think when we saw the relegation, I suppose, of Austin Stacks and Kearns O'Rahadys, a lot of people talked about St. Brendan's didn't kind of gel last year. This year into semi-final, looking a lot stronger. Again, we talked about maybe districts in transition or players coming in and clubs getting relegated and promoted and everything else, but St. Brendan's maybe last year was a building block, and this year seeing all the clubs in Tralee come together has made them a good powerhouse.
It has. Great credit to you to James Costello. Difficult enough, you said earlier on, a short shop window really, like, mm-hmm. for divisional teams. You have a few weeks to get it right, but look, you have the distraction then of Art Firth, like, you know, they're in a final, and but I see Dahi Griffin out of the weekend, Oran Ferris, and the strength and depth they have, you know, they could afford not to start Paddy Lane and Daniel Kirby. You know, they played with Montauk during the week, a wise move as well. You don't want to burn fellas out, but look, it's the same names that are cropping up, you know, the Joe Connors. You look at the Jack Savage and Barry John kicking 9 points between them, you know, Paddy Lane kicking a very important point to Amrick Heinrich, David Moran, Dylan Casey. You know, these guys have a great footballing pedigree. Mm-hmm. Just to gel them together, they're in the semi-final of a county championship. Have they hit the heights that they'd like to? Maybe not. but they're getting along there. They're getting the results. And, you know, that was I tipped Kinmare last week to win this one. I felt the club side might have enough for them. And the tenacious and the competitive way they play, the structure they have, and Seán Oíche. And, like, you know, maybe to might bore people saying it again, having Liam having said it earlier on, but Seán Oíche is playing incredible football.
Yeah.
And we've looked for that for a number of years. The Kerry public have looked for it, to see our county players standing out. And they certainly have this year in this championship. You know, we want that name and who, but all the top names are performing really well. And that's very good for the championship. And unlucky Kinmare, but, you know, St. Brendan's, they're 60 minutes from a county final. Could it be the last chance for some of these fellas to win a county championship medal? They'll be giving it everything.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing, as you say, John. They will give it everything. Liam, I suppose for St. Brendan's, I mean, for them to be successful, it's probably important for Tralee Town football as well. I mean, look, as I mentioned already, a lot has been said, I suppose, when you know, Stacks and Cornsarratties, especially even from outside the county, was a big shock that, you know, the senior clubs in Tralee and everything like that. But probably good opportunity for the players and St. Brendan's to kind of prove that football is still very strong in Tralee Town.
It does. And look, I suppose the club side of it, it kind of goes around and round about, John, really, isn't it? No, it is. You get maybe a 10-year thing, you have a great team, and next thing you might fail a small bit. And that's what happened in Tralee. But you could see they're starting to come now. If you look at Stacks, and you know, Nagel are still in the county championship, and Raleigh's are, you know, if you look at the players there, they're probably the most players on there at the moment. But I was just looking there now, and when you see the likes of Paddy Lane and Oran Ferris, young fellas, and Thomas Kennedy, wouldn't you love coming into a dressing room to the likes of David Moore and Tommy Welsh, Jack Savage, Joe Connor, to know, county footballers. You're a young county, you're a young player coming from the minors and under 20s, and next thing you're coming into a dressing room like this. So that's why I think the likes of Art Firth, I know they're in a final, and Stacks and these fellas, but the players know themselves, we have a right chance here. You know, if we can get this going. And I think that's why they are gelling. They are gelling, and I think this weekend coming will be a massive test for them, because Crokes, you know, we've said enough about Crokes for the last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah,
but I just think that the Brendans are starting to show a little bit of a spark about them. But like I said, they need that little bit of a guile as well. You know, a bit of toughness. You know, you'll wonder about them that if they go down 4 or 5 points, where the leaders are going to pop. We know the names that are there, but can they do it as a team then? So that'll be interesting. And they will be tried and tested next weekend, so that's where the answers will be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get your view into us if you were at any of the games the weekend, be it men's or ladies or anything else that was going on around the county. A hectic weekend of sport. Get your views into us. 083 300 300. You can give Keane a call back at base, 066 712 3666. We'll be back to look back at the other two quarterfinals after this very quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk this evening. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. If there wasn't enough sport on in Kerry, Donal still had to go to the country to find a bit of sport over to the American football, and he missed a fantastic weekend of everything going on back here. None more so than my own Dr. Crokes, Andrew, 117-29 winners over Rathmore.
Yeah, Dr. Crokes winning out that game against Rathmore at the weekend. Great win for Dr. Crokes, I suppose. They always knew the threat that Rathmore bring. We talk about Kinmare being a kind of a never-say-die team. Rathmore are exactly like that too. They brought the game back to 5 points near the end, and might have been a few worried heads inside in Dr. Crokes when Rathmore had that comeback. But Crokes winning on the day, 117-29. I suppose early on the defences were on fire, to be fair to both teams. Crokes had two goal chances, but good blocks from Keane, Deneen and Phil Hoolan stopped them. Rathmore at the same time in the first half, maybe their shooting let them down a small bit. They were 3 for 10, which did come back to bite really. The game kicked into life into the 14th minute. Rathmore got their goal. Dara Rahilly was found in the middle. His initial shot was saved brilliantly by Shane Murphy, but Kieran Collins, who scored 2 goals already in the championship, added another one yesterday. He was there for the rebound and kicked it off the ground and into the net. They could have had another goal just a minute later, or a couple of minutes later. John Moynihan sent a peach of a ball to Patrick Moynihan, but it was was another great save by Shane Murphy. But a big turning point might have came in the 26th minute, or did come in the 26th minute. Crokes got their penalty. Tony Brosnan sending a ball into the target man, David Shaw. He was brought down inside the square by Cian Dineen, and Tony sent the keeper the wrong way and to the left of the goals. Like Rathmore, Crokes could have had a second goal just straight after a super ball sent in to Cian McMahon by Tom Doyle, but it was blocked by Alan Dineen when he was taking the shot. But it was all about that second quarter by Crokes. They outscored Rathmore 1-5 to 1 point. That penalty goal really put them on a surge, and that continued on into the second half. They continued to add on scores. They got 5 in the opening 10 minutes after the resumption. And but as for Rathmore, I think Paul Murphy, he was just everywhere for them in the first half. And the thing I like about Crokes is they're able to kind of figure out teams and adjust their tactics, and they were kind of able to curb the influence of Paul Murphy and Shane Ryan as well. And Crokes really did, they're very good at figuring teams out, and I think there was really only going to be one winner when Crokes had such a sizable lead. But huge credit to Rathmore, they got a goal in 5 in the final quarter, including a goal from Darren Eagle, who the substitute, who finished off a move and palmed it into the net. And I suppose I keep saying, I such admiration for how Rathmore continued to fight, and they were dogged to the end. But there were some great performances for Crokes in the, on the day, which won it for them. I think Evan Looney in cornerback, he got 2 points. He was very very impressive. Michal Burns, he just seems to be everywhere, and he was just electric as always, 2 points himself. Tony Brosnan, just a consistent player, 1-5 as well, and a great impact off the bench. 3 points, 2 from Alex Hennigan and 1 from Kieran O'Leary, the veteran. And I suppose 9 different scores, it's a fine spread for Dr. Crokes, and they're going to relish that Brendan's challenge next week. And I think, yeah, that's definitely a game I'm really looking forward to.
Absolutely, Andrew. Liam, Andrew was touching it there. I mean, that spread of scores for Crokes is probably very important.
Yeah, but I think Andrew said it there as well. It's the way Crokes figure out teams, and that comes obviously from the sideline as well. But very intelligent footballers, and what they have now as well is they have David Shaw playing very well. In the last 2 weekends now, he's really coming back to himself again. Tony Brosnan up front, 1-5. Looney kicking the 2 points again. Evan Looney, cornerback. They've just names all over the field. But the one thing with them, they're very structured, very organised. They were 10 points up going into the last quarter. Probably took the leg off the pedal a small bit as well. They never looked in danger, to be fair. Even though Rathmore, to their credit, they're something like Kilmare. They never give up. They're dogged. Brian Field, Mark Ryan, Andrew Minehan missing through injuries. They have been hit hard with, in that side of it, but they're still coming along, kick 2-9 against Dr. Crokes. It's going to make an interesting semi-final. But this Dr. Crokes team, and we've seen it from the very start, County League, Club Championship, they seem to be getting better as the weeks go on. But very well organised, players, very intelligent players all over the field, led in with likes of Michal Burns, Tony Brosnan, they're leaders as well. But at the same time, when the likes of these fellas are being marked, you'd have Cian McMahon popping up. They've fellas all over the field, Mark O'Shea, they've so many dangers all over the field, and so many fellas. When one or two fellas don't play well, other fellas do play well, and that's a sign of a good team.
Yeah, I actually think it was either Tim Rambo said yesterday that it was almost like a basketball structure. You're a good basketball man with tactics. Very well disciplined, even tactically, from Crokes.
Oh, yeah. And I saw Patche in the game inside in Tralee, was it 2 weeks ago, and just the organisation that he was. And there was times players did good things, but it wasn't good thing in Pat's eyes, because you were supposed to do X, Y, and Z. We're big believers here of let players go and let them. But Pat, you have a role with Pat, and you'll do that role. He'll let you go and you play your football. But like, if I go and do something, what I was watching was, if I go and attack down the left hand side, Pat wants the fella in the far side to come in then and help and all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of moving parts to what Pat does in his coaching. If John Kennedy makes a drive towards goals, he's expecting Ivan to do fill in for John Kennedy. He's actually not watching John go for goals or Tony Brosnan kicking a point. He's watching the rest of the thing. Yeah. And I think that's where Crokes are really kind of that little bit ahead of everybody else at the moment.
Nearly an aerial view of one of the matches. Yeah. I paid a nice watch. John, I think conversion rate for Rathmore would probably be small, but disappointed with the amount of wides and everything else, and maybe not taking their chances. They might have been a bit closer towards the end.
Yeah, there might have been, but there's two sides to every story. I think Crokes were in control. They had a good few goal chances, didn't get them. Now Shane Murphy made a few very good saves also. But I think it's the strength and depth Crokes have that Pat has built up. Agreeing with Liam on the style of play, but, you know, you look at Mark Cooper, Dahi Casey coming on, David Nocton, Kieran O'Leary, and then Alex Hennigan. You know, Alex Hennigan's a guy a lot of people outside might know. Kicked two great points. Yeah. Pat is ruthless, you know, if a guy isn't performing, but he has the structure right. Evan Looney's playing some great stuff. Tony, David Shaw's really playing probably the best football he's played in a number of years. You know, Mark O'Shea on the middle. But, you know, there's some intriguing battles laying ahead the next day. You know, Sean Fitzgerald and Tommy Welch.
Yeah,
to be Tommy full forward. You know, is that going to be a problem? We said it here before, that the aerial battle, you know, on the other side of it then, David Shaw stroke Tony Brasson and Dylan Casey, that's going to be another real you know, apart from we didn't even go to the midfield, but the jewels that are there. But one of the strengths that Pat O'Shea has is apart from being a coach,
and you worked with him.
I worked with him. I'm a superb coach, and you know, but it's the work that he does on the opposition. He's not going out negative. He's going out, it's a revolving door, like Liam said. When a guy goes out of possession, somebody goes back in. It's very easy to say it. To implement it is another problem. We've all been there and say, if the halfback attacks, we want someone to drop back in. But do they drop in? The gap has appeared, and suddenly a sucker punch, you're killed if you lose the ball above, ball in the back of the net. You know, Crokes are playing great stuff. This is going to be a real test the next day for him. But look, Ratmore, a number of injuries, Brian Friel, Andrew Minan, Mark Ryan didn't, you know, and there's probably more that we're not mentioning, but they never give up. They kept going to the end, and in Paul Murphy and Shane Ryan, two outstanding performances again from the county men.
And getting back to your text there about Shane Ryan, we said it last week, you know, and you know, with the last couple of years we were kind of humming and hawing about it, but maybe it is something that we should look at. Ryan out the field.
You're talking Shane Ryan and with Kerry. I mean, if you look at Shane Murphy's performance yesterday as well, you had two top goalkeepers on the pitch and one wasn't even playing goals. That just goes to show that is severe possibility even for the league.
Yeah, big man, good hands. No, he's kind of basketball hands. It reminds me of Kieran Donnelly here a small bit. No, can kick a score. No, football intelligent as well. You know, when you look at him, the movements and stuff like that. I know some people will say he mightn't be quick enough, but at the same time, you know, Kieran Donnelly was no 100-meter sprinter either. No, I think that's down to the coaching that you do with him, and the coaching of the way you play when you use the likes of Shane inside. You know, so I definitely think it's an option.
Absolutely, it's something we could potentially explore. John, a small bit about Paul Murphy. I think he played centre-forward mainly to combat Gavin White, but you know, we might talk about Sean O'Shea and we talk about Paul Ganey and County Men playing well, but to be fair to Paul Murphy, really stepped up yesterday as well.
Game. And you know, he did a similar job against Shannon Rangers the week previous. I watched him closely in that game in Castle Island. You know, he's a serious football brain. He makes things look easy, but actually, you know, what he does is he sees a move two or three steps before it happens. He cuts off. He was playing centre forward, but he was coming back in the pocket. He was cutting off the attacks. And when he got the possession, he had an eye to give a quality ball in. Not a 50-50, but a quality ball to give the forward, you know, the advantage. That's a huge thing. But he's a superb footballer, and he's done really well. Wherever you play, Paul, he'll do a job for you because he has a football brain. He's on a different wavelength to most other players, and certainly had a great campaign for Ratmore. Great to see him injury-free. And, you know, I'd agree with Liam. We've watched Shane Ryan closely because it's a debate. People say it's going into matches. Would you play Shane Ryan above? And we're not Kerry selectors at all, but that's the Kerry people asking. He has all the attributes to play there. And he's a superb kicker.
Yeah,
absolutely. And just goes to show, if a club like Ratmore playing the Kerry goalkeeper outfield, why can't Kerry do it? Fortunately, my boss says I can't talk about Crokes all night, Andrew, so we're going to look at the final quarter-final. Dingle with a big enough win in the end against Templenough. Paul Ganey at his very best.
Yeah, Paul Gainey at his very best, Dingle at their very best, really. And I thought this was going to be one of the toughest games to call of the weekend, because it's a Temple North team that had never beaten and a Dingle team littered in quality. But Dingle proved to be the only backdoor team to win at the weekend, and they're true to the semi-final. I suppose a great a 7-point win for them in the end. Tom Sullivan, great to see him back. He's back from injury. He was immediately tasked with marking Killian Spam, which is no easy ask for anyone returning from injury after 2 months. But Temple North got their scores brilliant in the opening quarter, particularly the cornerback John Rice. He hit his second point after 7 minutes. It was a nice hit from 30 yards out. I was impressed with how kind of difficult Temple Noh made life for Dingle early on. Some brilliant defending, they got some turnovers, and they seemed to be comfortable to be play the ball inside their own 45, work a fast kick pass down the field, and players then burst it up to support a score, and they got those scores. But Dingle began to find themselves in the second quarter. They began to work their scores a bit better and got scores from Dylan and Paul before Matthew Flaherty gave them the lead on the stroke of half time, 8-7. After being down 3 points, they had 4 unanswered, and they continued that swing into the second half. I think in the game they scored 112, they outscored Temple Noh 112 to 2 points after the 22nd minute, which is a mad statistic, really. Dingle had some swing there, and they got their goal in the 41st minute. Dingle, it was a bit of a controversial call. Adrian Spillane was fouled inside the D by Barry Dan, I think, really trying to pick up the ball, but Dingle got the ball themselves, and it ended up with Paul Gainey pissing it into the net. I was talking to Liam O'Connor, the selector, after, who said if it was coming against them, that call, maybe that they would be feel aggrieved themselves, but these things happen at sometimes, and it might have been the finishing off of the game, because it gave him a 6-point lead. And Temple Noh had a second yellow in the 44th minute. Josh Crowley Holland was sent off there, but Dingle Noh, yeah, they got their win. Do they have enough for East Kerry in the next round? Have injuries caught up to them? That's the question. I think they have the scoring threat, which is very important, and they've had 3 convincing wins in a row now, an average of a 12-point winning margin, and a combined 36-plus score difference, which is great to see. They're scoring well, and yeah, big task for them now against East Kerry next weekend, but one they'll relish.
Absolutely. Andrew's only one step away from a big touchscreen pad to go with the analysis, I think. Liam, I think only one man to talk about, and Paul Gainey with Dingle, obviously a team effort, but a big standout again for Paul Gainey.
A big game, 1-7 from Paul Gainey. You know, and we're all wondering, is he going to appear again in the green and gold for another year, but on his performances at the moment.
Hope you don't, Liam.
That's the thing about it, like, yeah. But I suppose, and Andrew has said it there, and I think he's hit the nail on the head, is that the scoring power by Dingle, you know, they had 8 scorers, you know, and I think that's why they won't fear going into East Kerry, because we've been saying about Dingle even with the last 2 years, you know, they get goals, they have good scoring with all the Gainies and everything, they have a good scoring batch of forwards. Temple Noh had only 3 scorers the weekend, you know, one was a cornerback, Mike Casey was the other one, and Killian Spann 6. So when you get to the latter stages of competitions like that, that's where you need, like Crokes, I think it was 9 scorers, East Kerry the same, you know, you need more than, so yeah, because the better teams can match up with the one good footballer that you have, and if he's marked, you need a spread then. And I think that's where Dingle and the other teams probably have that little bit of power than the lower teams. But look, fair play to Temple Noh. I know this is their 5th year getting to the quarter final. No, they're another team that battle away above their weight. You know, so there's great credit to them, but I just think that's just short that little bit, probably at the latter stages to get them over the line. But Dingle seem to be a team that are coming good again, John. We were watching them after the club championship. Yep. They looked a bit tired, injuries and stuff like that. But they seem to be, you know, they're putting their head above the pulpit now a small bit again, and I think what they'll be feared the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Just back to Temple Noh, I suppose, John. Liam kind of touched it there as well, just about maybe it's falling a small bit short, but I mean, say potentially the Minnows, I think it's fair enough to say it's a small parish, still a relatively new senior club, going very well at the level, to be fair to them. And you say 5 county championship quarterfinals, not even just senior club or whatever else, 5 county championship quarterfinals in a row. Obviously, maybe a small bit disappointing they haven't progressed on to a semi final, but massive achievement.
Oh, massive achievement. And you know, they're really punching above their weight. They're so competitive, and they never give up. And you know, the I suppose the injury is Brian Crowley. You know, he kicked 4 points against Shannon Rangers. He was a match winner that day. Mm-hmm. You know, when Killian Spillane was marked by Jason Foley that day when they switched him, Crowley came up and did the business, as did Sean Sheehan. But, you know, like Liam said, when you're limited then, you know, missing a few, and I said it previously, the team that haven't got the squads could be found wanting at that level.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But look, fair play to them. But it's you know, like Liam said there about Dingle, they've bounced back well. You know, they had injuries, but what a boost it must have been for Tom Sullivan to re-enter the fray at the weekend. You know, where you're a Dingle man and you're getting over the line. Will Tom be ready? And obviously he was, and he came in and did a marvellous job. It lifted all around. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the work rate Dingle have, the fitness they have, that's built up over a number of years. And Paul Gainey, you know, it's, what more can you say about this man? Like his shooting scores, he gave a kicking exhibition at the weekend, really. You know, left and right, off the ground and off the hand, fisted the goal. You know, a superb all round performance. And there'll be a pep in the step at Dingle this week.
They'll relish a go at East Kerry, because they have fair battles in the last couple of years with East Kerry, and I think they probably have seen that St Kieran's, you know, have shown that, you know, there is a bit of a soft spot there in East Kerry as well that you can attack. And so I think that's going to be a very interesting game, and Dingle by all means won't come to Tralee, you know, just to make up the numbers. They're going to have a good go at it.
Absolutely not. Well, we look ahead to those semi-finals after the break. 083 300 3300, text or WhatsApp 066 712 3666. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in injury time in the first hour at this stage, looking back on the quarterfinals and looking ahead to the semi-finals as well. A couple of texts in, lads. Myself and my husband were at the East Kerry Kieran's game yesterday as neutrals. We felt that the referee was a small bit harsh towards the St Kieran's players at times. Of course, referees have to make tough calls, which we agree with, but some of the calls made yesterday were not right. There was an incident where Paul Walsh was knocked to the ground. There was nothing done about it. Should the referee be held accountable for poor decisions? I mean, look, I think we you know, there's often discussions about referees after games. I think we did touch on it there, that maybe, you know, there was a couple of decisions maybe went against St. Kieran's, but October football, it's tough, it's fast paced. I know you're at a serious part of the championship now as well, but very hard to get everything right as well, I suppose, isn't it?
It is, but do I think, I mean, it's hard when you're on if we're up management, you know, you have to put all the effort in, and you know, few calls don't go your way. But you know, we're not really helping referees either, because we're coming along now with another batch of rules, and you know, we're going to give them another five or six different rules for next year, and it's just making things a lot harder. And but I can see why a lot of the management teams would be kind of frustrated, all right, with some of the calls, because they're putting a lot of time, a lot of effort into it. You know, so you'll be hoping that, you know, but at times, look, the referee is only human. Yeah. No, he can only see what he can see. But my thing with that is that he has a lot of bodies around with him, and I think they should be used more officially. Unofficially at the moment they're not, but I think officially they should be given more roles.
I was always happy with the two referee system. I watched a good bit of the Aussie rules, and there's someone saying we don't have the referees, which is also fair enough, but I think especially for big games, even intercounty,
we have the referees for big games, Ivan.
To have two referee, I think, would be a word. And you're obviously going to be half the distance closer, no matter where the ball is in the pitch, because if you're only taking a half, that's my two cents in it as well. Someone said you find it strange it was the same referee for the last two St. Kieran's games. Again, maybe juggling around games isn't as easy, and where games are on and everything else. So looking ahead, lads, I suppose, to the semi-finals then, fairly lively, obviously, Saturday. Dr. Crowe's versus St. Brendan's. Andrew, we'll bring you back in from Tralee here. Crowe's, Brendan's, it's... look, I think last four, to be fair, it's fair to be said that you're... Four best teams in the county are in it, and quite exciting to see both games, I think, Andrew, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose looking ahead to Crokes and Brendan's in particular, I think it's going to be so interesting how Crokes come at this Brendan's team, because we've said they're an interesting side for the championship, and I suppose players for them have stood out all year, like Tomás Kennedy. You look at David Moore and Tommy Walsh, Barry John Keane. In the defence, you've Joey Nagle and Dylan Casey. Like, these are household names, as I think Liam mentioned earlier on. They have such an interesting inter-county threat. So it's a team Crokes mightn't be 100% too familiar with, all these Brendan's clubs amalgamated together now this year. So it's going to be a real interesting game heading into Saturday evening. And I suppose on the Brendan's front, they'll relish the opportunity. And as for Crokes as well, you have to look at it this way. It's Killarney versus Tralee. So there's going to be there's no reason that it won't whet the appetite of both teams heading into it.
Don't worry, Crokes aren't Killarney district, we're not that stuff. I get where you're coming from, Andrew. Dingle East Kerry, John Kennedy, it's again another two mouth-watering contests, really, to be fair. It's probably what the championship does need now in the last stage, and obviously the semi-finals are going to be strong. I'd say East Kerry, wouldn't even falter is probably the wrong word, but a good stern test. Dingle probably with three games that they came comfortably enough through, so it might be after turning the egg timer a tiny bit more than what people talk going into it as well.
Yeah, it's you know, East Kerry will be favourites, and they're favourites to win the championship, but Dingle certainly are on the upper curve. The boost, as I said previously, Tom Sullivan, Paul Ganey, the Ganey factor, particularly Paul, the scoring power they have up front. But I think, you know, the number of players around the field that have worn the Kerry jersey and the experience they've had. And there is another issue in it, Ivan, as well, that, you know, whatever club team is left, if one club team is only left in the final, they're going to represent Kerry and Munster. We said it off air. That's a huge carrot, mm-hmm. you know, for both Crokes and Dingle, outside of the Bishop Mining Cup. I think East Kerry probably still have that little edge, but they'll need to play their best game at the championship to beat Dingle on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes to show, you know, we talk about East Kerry so much, and you're even saying they're going to have to be their very, very best to beat Dingle. That gap in club and district has rightly closed in, especially this year, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And I suppose the four teams that are left, Ivan, they were probably the four teams that, if when we sat down and put it on pinned to paper,
I want to see that paper. I know,
did we pick? And you would probably throw Kilmare in there, yeah. You know, as a club side. But as for districts on paper, St. Brendan's and the names that they have in East Kerry would be the two strongest. You know, so I think we're in for two mouth-watering semi-finals, Dingle East Kerry. Both semi-finals, really, it's matchups. Matchups are going to be huge. The one thing that I see with East Kerry, their full back line in the last two games now, I'm not overly impressed with them. You know, mm-hmm. they have been kind of put under pressure and stuff like that. And I think Dingle will target that. So East Kerry will need a big game from their full back line. Like Kieran's caused them enough trouble yesterday. Even Jonathan Sullivan from Milltown, yeah. on his own, you know, caused them, even though they didn't get the scores out of it, but he won a pile of possession and won a pile of ball. You know, so I think that's something that Jerry Sullivan will be working on there, because they have him there. I think Niall O'Donoghue, Dan O'Brien, Chris O'Leary, these they're good footballers, but they don't seem to be gelling that bit, because there's something not right defensively with East Kerry yet. No, yeah. Up front, we know what they have up front and the scorers that they can get, but teams can go at them defensively, and I think that's going to be something big, and Dingle have the players to do that. St. Brendan's and Crokes matchups are going to be huge as well. No, Dylan Casey, is he going to be picking up Shaw, is he going to be Tony Brassen? It's going to be great, and I think this is the weekend that if you want to see good football, and I think get out and watch these games, because we are going to have two very good semi-finals here, which we should have, because
we should have
our pinnacle, this is our big competition, mm-hmm. we have four of the best teams in the competition, so hopefully we go out and have two good footballing games, that we're not going to have 30 fellas behind the ball and pass it over and back. I think this will be a good advertisement for Kerry football.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what the championship probably needed, and it's great to see there's so much excitement around them. I suppose, look, Dr. Crokes, Brendan's, 5 o'clock Saturday, Austin Stack Park, and then Sunday at 2, you've Dingle against East Kerry as well. Donal never gave me your predictions from last week.
I got three from four.
He must have brought that piece of paper to look at him.
I thought Kilmare might do it. Ivan, if you don't mind, before we go, I know you're going to be talking about the ladies later on, and well done to all the winners. But Bay ladies under Seamus Maloney, they won their Turk Cup of the Year yesterday. My own daughter's actually playing with them, and four girls from SD. But great celebrations in Ballybunnan last night, and it goes to show, like, when you get a group together, what can be done. Mm-hmm. And a massive group, and a very close-knit group of girls, and fair play to them. They deserve the success they had, and I know they're going to enjoy it. So well done to them.
Yeah, I'm going to get my two pins in now for the St. Kieran's District, because we're intermediate champions and we're senior champions now, with Scatterd Limerick intermediate and Castletown and Desmond senior champion. But overall, yesterday I was inside at the games yesterday, and I really enjoyed the two games. Mm-hmm. Now, great football, but Castletown and Desmond's now from the word go, and I'm delighted for Dan Carney, because we all know Dan well, but they went out from the minute the whistle went, they attacked, and by God, they gave an exhibition of football on tough conditions for the four teams.
Lorraine Scanlon, it should go like we're Daniel Cole, but what a display she gave, like
a fantastic display,
and well done to Dan. And we spoke about her affair, Mary Ganey, you know, one of the Ganeys, mm-hmm. the famous Ganey family. She has done it all as a player herself, but like involved yesterday, and the Desmonds bringing back a county title, fair play to them.
But I've been watching this now in the background with the last couple of years. It's the work that's been done, like John said, it's the work that's been done underage. Scatterd Lynn have been always a very strong underage ladies football team, and senior as well. And Castletown Desmonds in the last number of years have done immense work, and they have the fruits of all the work there. So from underage up, if you don't have an underage, you're not going to get your rewards. And I think all teams that won yesterday, and I think that's great going forward.
Absolutely. We'll be chatting to Dermot Carney after news at 7, which is coming up in just over 30 seconds. Andrew Moynihan, give me your final pairing for the Garry Supervalue County Senior Football Championship, please.
I'm going to go Dr. Crokes to win by 5 against Brendan's, and on Sunday I'm going to go East Kerry to beat Dingle by 3.
Right, Dr. Crokes, East Kerry final. John Kennedy?
Dr. Crokes, East Kerry final.
Liam, come on, change up a small bit.
No, I'd be the same. I'm going to stick with the two teams that I went very early, so Crokes, East Kerry.
Crokes, East Kerry. Well, we'll all be told. Next weekend, lads, thanks very much for popping into the unusual surrounds of the Clarity Studio this evening. We're here till 8 o'clock. We've plenty more to come, and that's after news at 7.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to the second hour of Terrace Talk for this Monday evening in October. The evening starting to close in nicely, but plenty of autumn sport to keep you entertained across the weekends and into Monday evening as well. And it's Ivan Hurley in for Donal this evening, keep you company for the next hour or so after the lads, John Kennedy, Liam Brosnan and Andrew Moynihan, all joining us there for a good detailed view of the men's football action. We move on to ladies very, very shortly. Just a couple of texts to get to. Listening attentively to your programme as usual. Your assessment is top class, so thanks a million. Thanks to Liam and John, or maybe the lads who are top class. I only chanced my arm. By the way, I'm a Kieran supporter and proud of them. We intended to go down to the semi-finals and booked them for the weekend of the 19th and 20th, which was the original fixture, but now they're fixed for this coming week. We want to go to the final instead. You can please tell me when that is being played. That's Seamus Murphy in Tramore. Delighted to hear you're listening along this evening, Seamus. So yeah, the semi-finals next weekend at 12th and 13th, and the county final scheduled for Sunday the 27th of October. Just going to show where is the year going that you're looking at that, being just under 3 weeks away now. You're definitely flying past us as ever, so keep your comments and text coming in. 066 712 3666, that'll get you through to Cian Doherty back driving things in the Tralee studio, and you can text or WhatsApp directly here to Clarny 083 300 3300. That'll keep you up to date on everything around the place at the moment. But it's time to chat ladies football now. Delighted to have on the line Dermot Carney, who was watching intently to all the games across the weekend. Dermot, you're very welcome along.
Thanks, Ivan, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure as always. I suppose first there's a lot of talk about intermediate and senior, but there are three junior finals as well, Dermot, all yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We had three junior finals played out throughout the day as well. The junior C final honours went to Bale. That's a three in a row for the Ballybunion side, picking up another bit of silverware in terms of a county final success. We had a doubleheader then in John Mitchell's, with the junior B final played after the junior A one. And Killarney Legion winning that game 4-6 to 1-9 over Kilcommon. But the Junior A one, I watched that game as well. That was a humdinger of a performance. Went right the way to extra time with Abby Dorney taking on Ballymakeligat. You know, it was 1-8 to 1-8 at the end of normal time. Abby Dorney coming back from 4 points behind in the closing minutes with a Melanie Higgins penalty, followed by a free to send it to extra time. They were down by a point at half time in extra time, and just a few minutes into the second half, Maura McDonald managing to put the ball in the back of the Ballymac net, which proved the deciding factor. So those were the three junior final winners. So Abby Dorney, of course, taking the Junior A, the Junior B going to Killarney Legion, and the Junior C going to Bale.
Absolutely, John Kennedy, very proud of Bale there in the juniors as well. Good buzz around, I mean, even the three juniors, and obviously intermediate and senior we talk as well. Obviously with Kerry's All-Ireland win in the ladies, there's a good buzz around.
In the senior finals, there was a real buzz around. I know the weather turned fairly nasty as the evening progressed for those two latter finals in Austin Stack Park, but there was still a raucous crowd inside in the main stand in Austin Stack Park for sure.
Third time lucky for Scarty Glen in the intermediate, Dermot.
Yeah, third time lucky is right, Ivan. And, you know, they started maybe second best in the opening half. MKL Gales raced into an odd 3-0-1 lead, and then Leah Boyle put the ball into the back of the net for Scart, and it looked like, you know, they were going to kind of kick on. But MKL, to their credit, they did finish the better in the half. They did get the goal that kind of really did change that dynamic. Quive Evans did have a penalty that just went wide of the post, but saying that, they were kicking on, they were getting those scores, and it looked like maybe at halftime, after Leah Lenehan's goal, Scart had a goal chance down the other end. It was ruled out for a square ball. They were down 1-8 to 1-5 at half time, and you thought, you know, maybe, you know, for the third final in a row, would they come out second best again? But, you know, in their credit, they really kicked on in the second half and managed to put the points over the board. The likes of Shauna Tagney, Leah Boyle really leading by example there. But Kerry senior footballer Aisling O'Connell, back of course with Scart this year, having been stationed with work down in Cork for the last while, was great to see her getting a county medal, county championship medal with her own club, having been away for a while. But you thought maybe it wasn't going to be there. And speaking to Captain Aoife Dunleavy after, there was a bit of choice words said in the dressing room at half time, but it definitely kicked them on and they got over the line eventually.
Absolutely. I mean, it's MKL Gales, our first intermediate final, definitely will be back again, no doubt about that.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of people very much wrote them off coming into it, that Scart, with their experience and the way that the championship had gone, were going to run away with it in terms of the contest. And, you know, I mentioned the penalty, you know, had that gone in, that could have been a massive difference. Like, they started much the better. After, I think it was 20 minutes, they were just a point in arrears after that goal. And, you know, had that penalty gone in, it could have completely swung the momentum. But they really kicked on in the second half, Scart. And I just think MKL Gales, they will definitely be back next year. Definitely one to watch out for. They won't be going away anytime soon. They have some quality players, but I think they just faded a small bit in the second half. I think Scart very much did deserve it with the way they kicked on in the second half. There'll be plenty to be proud on and encouraged by. I mean, they've seen what Scart Glen have gone through to get here, and, you know, MKL Gales will definitely be stronger after this final experience for sure.
Absolutely. It was the Castle Island District that were celebrating, of course, getting senior in with Castle Island Desmond as well. So you had Scart and Castle Island Desmond both bringing silver back to the district. A big win for Castle Island Desmond and almost a statement win, I think, Dermot, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much a statement, Ivan. I mean, a statement of intent. It was just a couple of minutes on the board, maybe even a couple of seconds, when Julia Curtin put the ball into the back of the net, and everyone was thinking, you know, that was a massive moment in itself. And from there, it was just all Castle Island Desmonds. And then when Andrea Murphy and Alicia Wamsley combined and it was 2-1 to a point, you know, that was in the ninth minute, you were thinking, this isn't going to the script that many predicted. A lot of people had thought that Southern Gales were the overwhelming favourites coming into this one. But Castle Island Desmonds, you know, they were ahead by 2-9 to 4 points at half time. The big question obviously there is, you know, first half never won you anything. Going into the dressing room at the break, you don't want to be too confident, but look, to their credit, they came out in the second half. They were just a joy to watch. They were all over the park. The likes of Aisling Leonard, she scored 1-2 in the game. Julia Curtin got 1-4. Alicia Wamsley 1-1. They were just clinical forwards when they needed. But Lorraine Scanlon in midfield was, she was hoovering up anything that came her way. Southern Gales were trying to go long and trying to get those goals. You saw Lorraine back there, you know, scooping up the danger. Young Leah Griffin, she's only 15 years of age. She scored a cracker of a point in that contest. She's been a really good player to watch for Desmond's, one to watch for the future as well. And Kira O'Sullivan Griffin as well, who was the captain. She was a phenomenal player. But, you know, to Castle Island Desmond's, it was a night to remember for them. Just the performance, it was one of the best performances I think I've ever seen from a ladies team.
Absolutely. Talk to us all about Dan Carney, friend of us all, and good report with us as well. But it turns out he's a decent enough manager as well.
He is. No relation, so I won't be too biased with that. I don't think he claimed me to be a relative of his anyway. But no, Dan done Trojan work this year. I seen it the first night they played Phoenix St. Sinan's out in Mount Cole. It was the first round of the championship, but they looked very much into it, and they were maybe not as cohesive then. They were trying to get players in. They were working with a younger squad than what maybe they would have expected. They had a lot of younger players from the minors. The minors, of course, won the county championship a few months ago as well. They had a lot of young talents, as I mentioned there, the likes of Leah Griffin coming in as well. But they clicked throughout the championship. They had that stumbling block when it came to playing Southern Gales out in Desmond's, but they were very encouraged leaving the pitch that day, that they said, you know, if we fine-tune a few things, and I'm pretty sure Dan had the magic book ready for all those tactics, and the plan that he had for yesterday worked, and they were definitely celebrating it. But no, he's done a fantastic job, and as I said to him, I said, you're not half bad of a manager, in fairness.
Yeah, that's what I'll say to him the next time I'm talking to Dan as well. No, fair credit to him, and look, it's no easy task taking on you know, a Southern Gales side who are well accustomed to senior football as well. And I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in the world that they'll be back for vengeance next year as well, Dermot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think coming off the back of last year's defeat in the final to Phoenix St. Sinan's, they had that in them this year. Some of the performances they put in were outstanding. You know, this is the only game in the championship where they didn't perform to the level that you would expect a Southern Gales team to do. And they'll know themselves that they have to rewrite the wrongs. And look, they have a Munster Senior B Championship to go into now. They'll be preparing for that in a couple of weeks' time. And then they'll already be looking forward to next year's championship. But they've a lot of good players inside in that Southern Gales team. They are a formidable team. They were going in as favourites for a reason. But just, I don't know if it was the weather on the night or just the way the Castle Island played, but they just didn't show their strengths as well as they should. They were very disappointed leaving the field. But no, they will be back next year and definitely be looking at that Southern Gales aiming for another final next year.
Yeah, I think a lot being said about that, but to be fair to Castle Island, I just don't think they let Southern Gales get a kind of a grip in the game. And even, I think, was maybe 5 minutes before half-time, Southern Gales kind of got a couple of scores back, but they were still trained by a nice bit at half-time. It just goes to show that Castle Island doesn't probably had that game plan and it stuck with them then throughout.
It did, you know. I think that likes of getting caught Lynch back at such a good time. She got a little bit of game time throughout the earlier stages of the championship in terms of the group phase, and had really hit that point that they were able to bring her on and be able to start her for the first time and be able to utilise her strengths. But it was just the way everything just seemed to click for them. Southern Gales were, you know, they were trying to get balls inside, but as I said, you know, Lorraine Scanlon just ran the show in midfield. She was putting balls over the bar, she was defending, she was attacking, she was doing everything for Castle Island Desmonds, and they were just first to every ball. It just looked like they were just more hungry or more determined, and you know, they really, really deserved it. They were an absolute phenomenal team to watch. You know, I think they had I think it was the first half, they had like 10 scores from 12 chances. I think it was like an 84% conversion rate,
yeah,
which is just amazing when you factor in the weather conditions on the night, that they just were so clinical. It was just everything. They were just an absolute joy to watch. It's the easiest thing I can do to describe that performance.
Yeah, I chatting to Liam and John there, and they said it on air as well as off air to me that, you know, I'm trying to find a word to put it now, but it's almost a pleasure to be able to watch kind of maybe free-flowing football, and the ladies' finals and probably the ladies' championship so far, watching following on the games. It seems to be kind of let the players out and do their sort of thing, and of course tactics come into the game, there's no doubt about that, but they're very enjoyable to kind of watch and maybe see, you know, the kind of free-flowing passing, and there's something a small bit different to it, and it showed the weekend as well, and we've had some top quality matches up and down the between junior, intermediate and senior as well.
Yeah, no, all the games that I've seen this weekend, it was just absolute free-flowing football. I know, even watching the senior game, when Desmond's needed to defend, they did defend in numbers, they got plenty of bodies back, but it was very much, you know, end to end for a lot of games. You know, you look at, you know, the Junior B final 4-6 to 1-9, the Junior A final went to extra time 2-12 to 1-12, the Bale and Southern Gales B game that was 3-11 to 1-13, and obviously you're talking the intermediate final at 1-10 to 1-14, and obviously the senior going 3-14 to 1-9. Like, those were high scoring games in itself, but they were very, very entertaining. Like, a couple of games that obviously had the more narrower of margins, the Junior A final and the intermediate final, for example, people were on the edge of their seat for that in the final few minutes. You didn't know what way it could have gone at times. But it was overall a very enjoyable weekend of ladies football. And just to see that, you know, the direct kick passing, the movement off the ball, just the nice free-flowing traditional football that we're used to, it was just very... almost had that bit of fresh air coming into it, having watched not so free flowing football for a few months, just to see that little bit of a change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think ladies football most definitely on an upward trajectory in the county, and in particular after that All-Ireland win a couple of weeks ago as well. Really good positive signs around ladies football in the county. Dermot, absolute pleasure chatting to you once again this evening, and we'll let you get on about your evening, but thanks again for joining us tonight on Terrace Talk.
Thanks, Ivan.
Absolute pleasure. Dermot Carney there reviewing the weekend's Bonsecours Ladies County Championship Finals weekend. Of course, 5 games yesterday. It's fantastic for ladies football in the county, to say, definitely going from strength to strength, and good positive football being played by our ladies players, both the club player and the county player, right across the different categories the weekend. And well done to all the winners, and hopefully the celebrations are going well this evening. We'll hopefully try to get a couple of the clubs in maybe next weekend when the celebrations might have died off a small little bit. But time's sake, a quick break. 083 300 3300, text or WhatsApp on that. 066 712 3666 if you want to get us on the phones. I'll be back after the break chatting small bit about pitch and putt and Classic that's coming up shortly here in Killarney.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening, so time quickly escapes us. We move on to our next guest, who, thankfully, me being Clary this evening, didn't give them the drive back the road all the way to Tralee. They're from Glenflesk, of course, two former chairmen of the club. Actually, I've got Derry Healy and John Coyote. Lads, you're very welcome into our Clary studio. How are you keeping?
Good, Ivan.
Very good, very good. There's a Pigeon Pug Classic coming up, Derry, for Gerry O'Leary. You might tell me a small bit about it.
Yeah, Gerry had just an unfortunate accident back in the June bank holiday weekend of 2023, and he's confined to wheelchair since, you know. So how this actually came about for this, we're fundraising for a wheelchair accessible bus, was a person that I had never met or known, called Liam Daniels from Waterford, contacted me and Donald Brosnan with Mick O'Connell, Ian's dad, and... they were saying that Gerry would be the recipient of the All-Ireland Circus Golf Ball Challenge, and would the club come on board? And we had a meeting with the club then, and honestly, Ivan, from the very first 10 minutes of that meeting with the club, we knew this was going to be on the ball, because everyone just rode in. It was fantastic, brilliant. Yeah,
and John, I suppose that's a good sign of a club and an area, and I often talk about GA and, you know, the kind of circle of locality with GA clubs, and oftentimes it's far more than sport, and we've seen that here as well.
Oh, it has, yeah. Glenfless is very strong in its own club members, from dancing to football and all activities. And any time you get onto the club, they're on the ball straight away.
Yeah, all down through the years.
It knits
the community together, doesn't it? And it brings people in for everything. You've had a busy summer. Flesk Fest. I remember years ago going out to the Christmas bazaar. It's a fantastic club. It's still going. I must go out this year and see what I win, and all hamper for myself. But it's so much going on in Glenfesk. For we all pass through Glenfesk, I think, going to Cork, and we see the GA pitch off in the distance, and the church, and a bit of a shop. But it's far more than that. It's a community base all around the GA club there as well.
Oh, it has. Father Jim will be delighted for putting in that plug for the bazaar. And the Flesk Fest was a big success. It's been running for 3 or 4 years now, and it's a major fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And we were involved in the intermediate this year. We got knocked out by the Lone Rangers, which was a great game and great football showed. And we have a lot of young, promising young footballers coming up.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask about, Confess, is that obviously it's outside Killarney for a good stretch out, and you're heading for the county bounds, but a good catchment area for younger footballers there as well. I'm sure there's plenty up and coming that you'll be strong, and hopefully maybe see senior in a couple of years time.
Well, we should be, we'll be heading in that line, and that's the thinking behind the club, and I can't see no reason why we shouldn't. But don't forget, from the county bounds there's another side up Raheen, so it's a long narrow club.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a fantastic little area, and I always did battle underage when I used to kick a bit of football myself before I moved to the small ball. But I suppose the Pitch and Puck Classic a small bit, Derry. I mean, it's a novel little fundraiser. I mean, it's I may even go to John on it. It's a novel little fundraiser. I mean, we don't often hear about golf classics, and we all try our hands at playing them, but Pitch and Puss is another one. I think it maybe invites in everybody, no matter if you have a bit of a golfing pedigree or not. Everyone's able to swing a club a short distance. It's a kind of open for everybody, isn't it?
It is open to everybody, in young and old, and you know, it's not on a very serious line. And it's been run on the bank holiday weekend, Monday, the bank holiday, the 28th, at the Pitch and Putt, Deer Park Pitch and Putt Club. It's teams of three, €20 each. And you can contact Donna in the Corner Bar, Borodove, or Connie in the Q Club, which it was Connie's idea to start it on the Pitch and Putt.
So, any
family members that would like to give sponsorship, or contact myself or Derry. So it's open to everyone, fun, young and old.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun day. As I say, Bank Holiday Monday is a nice kind of different day. We hear golf classes kind of Friday, Saturday, but oftentimes a Bank Holiday Monday, if you get the weather, it'll be kind of a day where you're sitting on the couch doing nothing anyway, so why not go out for an all-game pitch and putt with the family?
Absolutely, and Connie actually said that you don't even have to have a golf club. They'll supply you with them as well.
I better again. I'd probably lose a few golf balls now myself. He's after roped me into playing. I'm actually I haven't played pitch and putt in years. I'm a bit of a golfer. I wouldn't even say a bit. I'd attempt to play golf. Haven't played pitch and putt in a while, but it's a good opportunity to kind of, as you say, get out maybe with the family. You know, it's relatively good value for money. You're getting a nice day out for it, and all going to support the efforts for Gerry O'Leary as well, which is very important. And so is it to get people out on a Monday to play in it.
Absolutely, male or female, like Connie said, from 9 to 90. He said any age can play a pitch and putt. You know, there's no...
Well, with Connie Sullivan involved, there's no fear. You won't get a crowd anyway. He's an All-Ireland champion of pitch and putt himself, so I hope he's not playing, or he'll beat us all. I suppose just, if you want to go through it once more, John, maybe just the names, and even if you have the numbers there to contact if people want to sign up for the Pitch and Puck Classic. It might be nice to, some might be listening this evening, might want to get one of
that. You can contact Donna 087-275-5481, or contact Con at 087-283-3343.
Brilliant. And you can sign up, and there's T-Box sponsorships as well.
Yeah, and I would like to give a special thanks to all the clubs and businesses in Killarney, Kerry, and well into Cork. It has been a massive response, and to all our club members that have done some Trojan work from the word go, none of them were found wanting. And also to yourself, Ivan, and Radio Kerry, for having us on and giving the plug.
Absolute pleasure. I hope I get an old shot or two in advance ahead of everyone else for that. John, you want to come in there, Derry?
There's also just one other part to this fundraiser. It's the Rambling House. We have a great club man outside in Glenfesk, Neely Moynihan, who do Trojan work as well for the club. But he is organising a Rambling House, which he do every year for the last 15 years, I'd say, or more. This is on Saturday, the 16th of November, and the proceeds will be going towards the bus.
Brilliant.
Also, on the days of the golf, the actual classic, the 17th and the 18th of October, the actual golf classic, there is an après golf, they call it, bit of a sing-song and stuff going on in Scott's Hotel in Killarney, and Liam and all the boys, the Marty Morrissey, and I think there's a big game coming down. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. We all have to join in for a sing-song and a beverage. But look, it brings me back again, Jerry, to the whole, like, the club aspect. And, you know, not saying you shouldn't do it, but there's plenty of reasons why you could kind of say no to these kind of things, isn't there? There's always something else on. There's a football match or something else, but GA clubs just seem to have that. It's a great way to bring the community in.
We have I always say we have a fantastic club. Like, actually, the day of the launch of this was inside in the golf course in Killarney with Ambrose and John Finton. They were 40 mm-hmm. years since our captains, and Seamus Moynihan and John Crowley were inside there, you know, leaning their support to this. No problem, no hassle.
Yeah.
You know, that's a massive attitude by people within the old community. I'm sick of saying it. We're definitely the best community.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, we're often sitting here and we're giving out about a club that lost by a point or disappointed or, you know, a referee or something. But at the end of the day, it's sport. And, you know, things like this are so important as well. And sport's important to everyone. We all like it out on a Saturday and Sunday. But when, you know, a club can come together and help out with these things, it's fantastic. I wish you all the very best with it, lads. I'm looking forward to playing in it, dusting off the pitching wedge and my putter, and might bring 8 or 10 golf balls, more than likely, and looking forward to playing it myself. But just once more, maybe just give the date again and the times and everything else, and who to contact, John, before we head off.
The pitch and putt, the 28th of October, Bank Holiday Monday, and the times are 8:30 to 3:30, every 6 minutes, and contact Donal Moynihan and Conor Sullivan.
Brilliant. Yeah, and if anyone wants those details, we might even get them shared up on the Terrace Talk page. Anyway, brilliant. Lovely. Auntie Glenfess GA Facebook. Lads, thanks so much for making the way in to us, and great to have you in Killarney. Before we just head for a break, nice little clip to come up here. If anyone in North Kerry is listening and a hurling supporter, or anyone in the county who's very interested in St. Brendan's hurling, obviously Fionnuala Mackesy made the switch to Kilkenny and up to O'Loughlin Gales in the city. They had a massive win the weekend in the county quarter final, and Fionnuala was one of the standout players for O'Loughlin Gales. It's great to hear a Kerry man being able to go up to Kilkenny and mix it with the best. But after the game, Oisín Langan sent us on this clip. He was chatting to Fionnuala after a manager match performance for O'Loughlin Gales over the weekend.
Well, I'm joined by one of the heroes of the hour for O'Loughlin Gales. 217 to 20 points the final score against Dixborough in the senior hurling championship quarter final. Now, you can correct me, because I've heard various pronunciations. Fionnuala, which you prefer?
Fionnuala Mackesy.
Okay, well, there we go. That's the definitive pronunciation. And everyone's going to know your name after today. First of all, tell me how you're feeling right now.
Over the moon now, over the moon. Jeez, I went down to the wire there now. Went down to 13 men. It was just about digging it out. Going back to the backs, collecting the ball off of them and trying to deliver it in or pick off a few scores. It was so tough. And it was just madness the last couple of minutes there, and sure, we're just a relief now to move on to the semi-final.
What was going through your mind when Mikey got sent off and then Mark got sent off and you were down to 13 men?
It was just going to make it so hard for us, like, but I knew with all the talent around us and all the work we'd done and all the subs, the bomb squad coming in, that we had enough in us to try and get us over the line, and we done it in the end.
Fantastic performance. Talk me through your goal, because that is what won it in the end.
I just seen Conor here and I ran in. I was actually kind of swapped in with Luke Hogan in full forward just for a second to see if anything could happen, and here he got the ball out in the corner and I roared him, he gave it to me, and I just seen the net and I just put it through, and that was it.
How are you feeling the second that went in?
Oh, just get back and get on the next ball and try and see out the game as well. Just unbelievable buzz, and the adrenaline is unbelievable.
It was weird to say that the pressure was off the champions in a quarter final, but as soon as that second sending off happened, in some ways did the pressure go off? And at that stage, was it like, well, this is a free shot, let's just keep working and see what happens?
We just stuck to the process, really. But I suppose, yeah, when we went down to 13 men, I suppose a lot of people probably would have had this written off. But I'm telling you, everyone in that line and everyone on that field knew well we always had a chance, no matter how many lads we had on the field.
You're a good team, but it's a great club. You feel right at home, don't you? And Well, of course, you're even more welcome there now than you already were, but you seem to really have settled into life in Kilkenny, which is a great place if you love hurling.
Unbelievable. There's some club. They're so sound. Even before I came up, there was lads ringing me and texting me and just greeting me and made sure I felt welcome. And I'm in a house now with five of the lads in the team, and the crack is unbelievable. And hopefully it's only going to get better.
Thank you very much. Well done today.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you here until 8 o'clock this evening. So we're heading into a bit of overtime, and our lads in the studio here know a bit or two about overtime as well, of course, with the basketball season kicking off this weekend here at home with everybody out in action, including the Clarny Cougars. We'd, of course, St. Paul's here in Clarny out in action as well. We'd Garry's Tralee Warriors, and we'd the ladies of St. Paul's out as well. So right busy, as well as Clarden, of course, with Flexicam, KCYMS, all out in Super League and First Division and Women's Super League and everything else. So strong here in the county. And funny enough, Basketball Ireland put up a little map of all the teams ahead of the season, and it's great to see Kerry represented in pretty much all the various different divisions. It's for a county famed in sport. Fantastic to see so many teams in it, and no more so than the Clarny Cougars, who have popped in to our Clarny studio. We timed the Clarny studio great tonight. We've had all sorts of Clarny guests in here this evening, which is fantastic. Obviously, usually come from our Tralee studio, so great to get out and about here in Clarny and welcome in the Clarny Cougars. So we've got Patrick O'Regan, we've got Joshua Strongman, we've got Kenai Glover, and Ian Hristoff, which I got all right off air, but I probably got them all wrong there. But we'll go with it. Patrick, I'll come to you first, I suppose. A Killarney man, Killarney Cougars. Look, it's great to be back for another tilt at the Men's Division 1 and having a couple of superstars beside you as well here.
Yeah, no, it's great altogether. You know, the last two seasons coaching Cougars has been an absolute privilege, but to have really talented players here in Josh, Ian and Kenai, we're hoping that we can really develop the younger players this year. You know, it's about trying to hold that ladder for the next Cougars underage team coming up, because Tony O'Sullivan is doing a great job with the underage, and Dave and his daughter Kelly are really, you know, promoting Killarney basketball with the Cougars really strongly. So hopefully we can, you know, get a few scalps and just keep progressing as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think it's all about progression, and obviously you're playing national basketball. Anything national you play in sport is always going to be tough. We've seen it for our football teams coming out of the county when they're playing Munster or into a national series. It's tough. You're against some top teams. There's a couple of new teams in the men's first division this year as well, so a couple of different challenges, and you've the away from home and on buses and everything. There's a lot of commitment to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of commitment, you know, and in fairness to, we have a very young team, the likes of Jack Lynch, Nathan Cox, they're nearly young veterans at this stage, are with it since the nascent stage of Killarney Cougars. It's great to see the younger players coming through, like Dylan Bowler, Evan Cox, you know, Dylan Lennon from Fieries, who's came over this year, you know, and last week it was really positive. Look, we gave Titans a good run for their money for the first three quarters. Unfortunately, we ran out of steam, but we blooded so many players last week. A lot of them got their National League debut. So look, hopefully the future is bright. And again, as I said, it's just trying to, game by game, not looking ahead to, you know, not looking past any Saturday night opposition, and just trying to get better each day.
Yeah, like absolutely. And I mean, at this stage of development, I think obviously results in sport are, you know, a big part of it, and wanting to win and that winning mentality. But I mean, at the end of the day, you said, like, blooding in new players, youngsters coming in, getting their first chance on the big stage on the court as well. That's all important. And as you said, the youngsters come into Cougars, into academies and underage and everything else. They can look at these lads here, and they're superstars to them. And, you know, no matter kind of the result, that still happens in sport, doesn't it? Where, you know, the youngsters kind of come up, they see the lads training, they might come into the games on the Saturday night, and superstars, and like they want to kind of grow into being them. And, you know, again, we see it in football with the likes of your David Clifford, so everyone, you know, wants to be nice. But these lads inside in Cougars look up to these lads, and, you know, it's important probably to set that standard as well and have that senior pathway for them.
No, that's a great point. Look, the last 2 years we're very fortunate to have a really talented player, Marty Hill, and this year we've recruited really well, really happy at it, having Kenai Glover coming over from the States. Just the way he plays the game, and above all, these these three guys to my right here, they play with a smile, and it's great for the underage people to see, you know, what they're doing. And it's just the positive attitude that they bring to training, and they really set the tone. And even for the younger players we have on the team, just the leadership that they've shown in their short stint so far in Killarney has been incredible to see. So look, we're really happy as a club to have these three individuals in, and hopefully now this season we can really see their talent on the court.
We're about to put the pressure to them now, Patrick, right? They're like, forget about basketball and throwing your free shots, whatever. This is the real pressure. Joshua, I'm going to come to you first. Welcome into the studio here. I suppose, tell us a small bit about yourself, where you've come from, and I suppose maybe you're a small bit about a basketball background before landing in here with the Cougars.
Yeah, so I'm from the UK, from Bournemouth in the south of England. I played a few places in my collegiate career. I played in America, and then spent a few years recently playing in Spain and in Canada. Thought I'd come back a bit more local, just come across to Ireland and see what it's like over here. We've had about 2 weeks of training as a team, so we're still all getting to click. All the guys are super nice. We got a great coach in Pat, who's just...
You're always saying that, he's sitting beside you exactly. Now.
Nah, he's great. He has so much confidence in us. He's a really, really positive coach and believes, like, we can achieve with this team more than anyone expects us to. So, yeah, we're excited to see where we can go with this season.
Yeah, what have you made of the move to Ireland? You've obviously been all over playing basketball, so well able to travel. But here into Killarney, the beautiful southwest of Ireland, and you'll be able to play your basketball here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Killarney so far. I've taken a trip up to Dublin, but... To be honest, Killarney, I've got some walks in there. We've gone around the town. It's beautiful. I think you could go out and walk every day and not get bored of the scenery and all the people too. Everyone you can chat to, and they'll happily have a conversation.
Absolutely, and tell them to come down to the Prez Gym on a Saturday night to watch you play basketball.
Exactly.
That's a great advertisement for the tourism board here in Killarney. I'm going to send that clip to them. That's brilliant. Ian, I'm going to come to you next. I'm kind of coming to say maybe, where have you come from, and how have you found yourself here landing into Killarney?
Myself, I'm from North London, England. Played all over the place. I played in the States for numerous amount of years. I went prep school there, played college basketball there. Then last year I played my first professional year in Bulgaria. As far as coming to Ireland, it was kind of a no-brainer. It's close to home. I'm an hour flight away from London, so couldn't really say no to that opportunity. Plus, Killarney's a beautiful place. Since I've been here, people have been extremely nice to me. Like Josh said himself, everyone has a smile on their face. People are easy to talk to. Everything's quite easy going. Everyone's willing to lend a hand, so it's quite great over here.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk to me a small bit maybe about the level in England, because I think, you know, we've heard of, you know, the Irish, the homegrown, and you often hear of the Americans flying in to play for, you know, the likes of the Warriors over the last couple of years when we were listening. But two Englishmen coming over to Ireland, is that a say of maybe the level in England? What's kind of the comparison, I suppose? Obviously, this is Division 1, it's one step down from the Super League, obviously, here in Ireland, but how do you find, kind of level-wise, is it similar to what you have in England?
I'd say so. Probably the National League compares to what we have in England called the NBL 1. Mm-hmm. As far as the Super League, I believe it's pretty comparable to the BBL, which is our top league. I think it's called the SBL now, since they had a rebrand. Level-wise, they're really good in Ireland. They've got size, they're aggressive. I'd say even more aggressive than the guys we have in England. And, you know, the kids coming up are good. Definitely fundamentals. They're getting there, and they just love the game, which is beautiful to see, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you got a chance to kind of meet the youngsters in the club yet, the young prospects that hopefully in, you know, 5, 10, 15 years' time they might be playing senior basketball? Have you got a chance to kind of mingle in around the club yet? You're very fresh to it.
Absolutely. I've been kind of all over the place with the U10, U12 team. Last night we had a game with the U14s. Absolutely killed it. Shout out to one of the younger guys, Callum. If you're listening to this, you know I'm shouting you out, so you should be happy. Tristan as well. So, yeah, it's lovely seeing the younger guys. Like our coach said, it's better off inspiring them, because at the end of the day, you know, that's the guys that are going to be here when we leave.
Yeah, Patrick, that's such a sense of community within the club. I mean, you've got two lads, after flying in from England, you know, all new to them, Killarney, tourist destination. There's so much going on, but yet they're still giving their time, you know, with underage. It's fantastic to see it.
Yeah, no, it's great, and they've really embraced it. And again, it's a testament to the culture that David Ahern has built the Cougars. Do you know, we kind of want to build a sustainable club in the sense of funding and whatnot, and you know, we don't have budget like other clubs. Mm-hmm. So we have to really, you know, kind of keep the purse strings as tight as we can while recruiting talent and making sure that they embrace our community ethos. And so far, these three gentlemen have exceptionally done that.
Absolutely. Well, we'll go for a very quick break, but we'll be chatting more with the Clarny Cougars after this quick break. Don't go away.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. To you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're definitely into overtime now in the back end of the programme. We're still joined by the Clarny Cougars gang, who are in after their first game of the season the weekend, and a long year to go. Again, once the winter rolls in, the dark evenings are here. It means basketball. I've been told I've left the best to last. Canaille Glover, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk and to Kerry in general. Tell us a small bit about your background and how you've ended up here in Clarny.
I'm from Brockton, Mass, in America, of course. I went to college for 5 years, just finished up last year in Worcester, Mass, a school called Assumption University. Before then, I went to a prep school in Maine, Bridgeton Academy it's called, and did that for 1 year, high school in West Roxbury, Mass, Catholic Memorial. And my journey here has been, it's been quite well so far. Just been able to get acclimated a little bit, and I'm excited to be here so far.
Yeah, is it a big shock to the system, you know, leaving the States? We all watch NBA. I've been to a Celtics game a couple of years ago. I mean, we think of basketball, I personally think of America. Now you're kind of doing the opposite. You're flying to Ireland to help the Cougars along. How have you kind of maybe found that, and has it been strange for you? You kind of maybe use it as a, you know, a step for your career maybe to go back and say you played, you know, men's Division I here, or...
Yeah, it has been a shock to my system, honestly. It's different. It's a different experience. But I was, ever since I was younger, it's been a goal of mine to play professionally, and I'm excited to have this opportunity to do it with the Clarny Cougars here, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, how much, I suppose, had you maybe researched into the town of Clarny, maybe Kerry, and obviously basketball in the area before you made your decision that Clarny was the place for you?
I didn't do much research. I just talked to Coach Pat a little bit, and I talked to Dave a little bit, and what they said to me made me feel comfortable with making this decision. Fantastic. I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose looking ahead, it was obviously the season kicked off this weekend, just gone, but plenty of games to come and plenty to look forward to. I suppose for yourself, kind of what's kind of maybe, I wouldn't say maybe your goals for the year, but what were you hoping to get out of your experience with the Cougars?
I would say I want to win a lot of games. I want to help the younger Irish guys continue to grow as players and progress as people and all that. And yeah, that's about it. I want to win. I want to do well. I want our team to do well, and those are my goals, I would say.
Absolutely, that's brilliant. And Ian, back to you again. I mean, it's like that. Maybe a small bit like Canaille are kind of maybe wanting to, you know, prove yourself maybe on the stage here as well, and get your name out there that, you know, you're a fantastic player or whatever else, and you know, a good opportunity maybe to get your minutes here in Clarny as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. It's definitely an opportunity for us to all get showcased, put up the numbers, help the team win, hopefully get into the playoffs. That's the goal. And yeah, just keep progressing up. Maybe see me one day in the Super League.
Absolutely, yeah, and brilliant, and hopefully nice to see a Clarny team back at the top level of the sport. Obviously, for people in the Tralee area, we've got the Warriors, who've been doing so well, and we've seen them at the top as well, and Clarny is such a basketball town as well. Joshua, I suppose similar enough to that for you. I mean, it's a long, long season. There's, you know, a lot of, maybe Pat has expectations on you throughout the year. I suppose it's a kind of a game-by-game sort of approach for the Cougars this year, see how you're progressing as the year goes on, and let's say hopefully climb up the table, maybe a small bit, but obviously just to that importance of getting the kids watching you as well.
Yeah, that's exactly our mentality. Game-by-game, every practice, every day, we're looking at improving, getting one step better, And yeah, like these other guys said, we all have our personal goals and team goals. And for me especially, I want to work on that as a team individually, and also help these youth guys leave our mark here and make an impact for the all the rest of the guys that will be here for years and years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great mentality to have, Patrick, as well. Obviously, like, born winners, which is very important. But, you know, kind of wanting the club to progress as well. You've kind of found lads here, and we've only been chatting for 20 minutes, but I can see it already. You've found guys who, you know, want to help the club as much as help themselves, which is very important. When, look, players come and go, there's a transfer market. It's just, you know, it's not like your Gaelic Games where you've got your 30 players that have played for the club for 30 years. It's a case of where people do come and go, but you need to have that ethos right across the squad, don't you?
No, it's exactly true there. And look, it's a symbiotic relationship between player and the club, because we want to be a club to facilitate the growth of our pros. And, you know, look, we've seen the success of it last year, and two of our Americans, one of them is playing the top league in France, the other signing with a top team in Morocco. So that's the platform we want to have for our pros. And look, whilst they're here, we want to try to win games. We have to be really strategic. You know, as Josh said, it's game by game. You know, we're really aware that, you know, we're not going to go out and win every game, but we're going to try to find a way to win every game. So it's just setting our expectations. But for us as a club, we want to, you know, develop the careers for these three gentlemen, and that's, you know, that's the holy all of Cougars basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've given them that platform now that they can develop their careers and become, you know, superstars here in the town, and to the supporters. The lads have said they've got a great Clarny welcome, which is very important. So I think Clarny owe the lads something back as well by coming out. And obviously you can't make every Saturday evening, and that's totally understandable. There's so much going on Saturday nights and everything else. But, you know, would you encourage people in the town here in Clarny to come out? It's a cheap enough night. It's in the town centre. You know, you can walk up after the game if you're living locally, whatever. There's plenty of parking there's a lot of attractions to come and watch the guys, you know, here in the Pres Gym, isn't there?
Oh, that's it. You know, especially at the moment, look, when the county championship is over, people are going to be, they're going to have a thirst for sport still. So, you know, give other Killarney people something different, and especially coming on the Cougars, look, there's going to be lots of locals playing, which is great. And it's, you know, a tenacious spirit is what we want to have down there, you know, fighting for every possession. And it's just, again, I keep saying, because it's so imperative for Killarney Cougars, it's just sustaining the growth of the young players and making sure that we give them that springboard to succeed. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the, you know, the backing of local people is so crucial here, because as I said at the start, we don't have immense budget, so everyone going to games, you know, it helps us really sustain the club and, you know, hopefully grow it to bigger and better things in years to come.
Absolutely. Home game this weekend coming?
Home game this weekend against Waterford Vikings. So we hope to have a big crowd down here to see our three new imports in action. And, you know, after our performance last week, I think we're going to have a really good game this week. We see it was only our first time running with Kenai last week, and Josh was unfortunately under the weather. He still weathered through the storm and played 40 minutes. So this week we are going to give it all. It's going to be a tough game. Waterford are coming off playing St. Paul's. St. Paul's gave them a great game. And I just think, look, we're going to be really competitive, so the more fans we can have in the seats, the better for us.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to leave the final word to you. We're just running out of time, but, you know, isn't that important that maybe basketball is a sport that we've seen on the telly, everyone's aware of it, we've seen it at the Olympics, we've seen NBA, but it's kind of a sport that anyone can kind of go, it's easy to kind of grasp the rules of it, and you can kind of go down to the hall, maybe you might be the biggest fan, but maybe leaving you might say, I want to go back to this, there was a good atmosphere there, there was, you know, there was an enjoyable game, it was up and down, it's fast paced. Maybe for someone in Kerry who hasn't been to a basketball game, maybe would you recommend maybe coming down and checking out the Cougars?
Absolutely, 100%. I feel like we're going to create a big buzz up in the city and the town. And I feel like it's definitely worth coming and giving us a view.
Absolutely. There you go. That's your selling point. So hopefully you can get out to watch the Cougars. I'm definitely going to make it my business to get out to a game before Christmas at some point when Saturdays aren't as busy on sport, and support the lads here. They're doing great things for the town and basketball in the town here in Clarence. So thanks to the lads for popping in. Thanks to the lads from Glenfesk as well, ahead of the Gerry O'Leary, the Pitch and Putt Classic, and ahead of him, hopefully you can get out and play a small bit of pitch and putt as well. Thanks to Dear McCarney, who looked back on the ladies' county championship games from the weekend, and also to Liam and John and Andrew on the first hour, looking back at a very busy week in the county senior football championship. Donal will be back next Monday evening with all the sport, the breakdown of everything, with all the teams involved next weekend. The very best of luck, and we'll chat to you again very soon. So long, the ball.